At least Terry and I are
really not very much at all.
Good morning, everyone. It's January 21st, 2020, and I hereby call to order the meeting of the Board of Supervisors of Story County. I don't have my gavel, so. And I would, if you would like to, please join us in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. The next thing on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda, and I would like to announce one change that we will be making under agenda item 5, other reports. Item 3 will become number 1, presentation by WES. Then the second will be presentation by Hannah Keelan, and third will be presentation by RDG. Are there any other changes we should make to the agenda?
I have none.
Okay, then I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with the changed order of the consultant report.
I would so move. Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Agenda is approved. Next, we'll go to public comment number 1, and this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Are there any members of the public here who would like to briefly address any topics on our agenda for today? If so, would you move to the microphone? Seeing no one move to the microphone, I will close public comment session number 1, and we'll go on to other reports. The first report we're going to have, these are 3 reports that we will have on proposals for a housing study that the board wants to commission. And I'm going to read one statement at the beginning of each presentation. We'll hear shortly from WES, and I think they're calling in remotely. We are hearing presentations from selected consultants today that responded to our request for proposals to develop a housing study. We thank you for submitting a proposal. Today is so we can hear more from you. You will be allowed 10 minutes to present with time to follow for questions and answers by members of the Board of Supervisors. The board will not have any discussion or deliberation at today's meeting. That is tentatively scheduled for next Tuesday when we intend to select a consultant and begin contract negotiations. So are the folks, I hope, from WES on the line?
Not yet.
They're not yet? If I'd known that, I wouldn't have read this yet. That was practice. I assumed we were going. Let me.
I'm excited to see the people who are interested in this housing study today that are in the audience, and I think we need to acknowledge that one member of the original 1997 study is in the audience, so I'm glad that we're going to get possibly his perspective later on. Afterwards, Mark, okay? I know, you're just here to listen, but would love to hear your thoughts after the meeting's over.
Checking
on our technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. I'm up to speed. Sorry, I forgot to sign it yesterday. So. The claim. Okay. I know sometimes we're pushed. Okay.
ready?
Your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
I think we're getting closer.
To enable audio controls, please enter your audio PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. If you do not have a PIN, just press pound.
Andrew, do you have your cell phone? He's trying to call somebody, and we wondered if he's trying to call you.
He's on the phone. He's on the phone. You can see he's talking to somebody.
He's talking to somebody.
Oh, excellent.
I wonder if he's leaving a message on your telephone. waiting. Let's skip over to consideration of minutes, personnel actions, and claims, and get those out of the way, if that's okay.
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes of January 14th?
So moved. Second.
Okay, Hiddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Yes. Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions?
I move as presented.
I second.
Olson?
Aye.
Hiddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Approved. Consideration of claims?
I move approval of the January 23rd, 2020 claims.
I second.
Hiddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Now we go to consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve all the items on the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Hiddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent approved. I'm just going to note for the record, we have no public hearing items. I don't think Joby's here. We could do additional items. He walked out. If he comes back in, we might do that. Let's not do, we don't have department reports.
Hello?
Oh, hello, there you are. Yeah.
Hello?
Do you hear us?
Ah, yes, this is Kristen. Great. Let me let Rob know, and he will start everything right away. That sounds wonderful. He looks a little frustrated, so I'm early here. Let me give him a call real fast. Hold on. And then he will start the meeting. Thank you so much about all this. On ours, it's showing no audio on here, so let me get him started. Thanks.
I wondered if that was something.
This doesn't look promising.
Okay.
Oh. Hello?
Hello. Thank you. Let's see. I can't see you guys at the moment, but I would like to say good morning. I'm delighted to be here with you. I know this is an unusual way to report to you, but thank you very much for being so flexible.
Good morning.
What
sir,
I'd like to do today
sir, can you
is
hear me?
Just kind of give a little presentation about our firm and what we're proposing to do on your behalf. So for the last 34 years, we've been providing housing, economic and demographic analysis,
sir?
Market research, forecasting, and strategic planning services. We've worked with very small to very large units of government, entire states, LA County, small states
sir?
Like
sir?
Large geographic states,
hello?
Small states like Montana, your state as well, Iowa,
no.
And many, many others. In Iowa, we've done housing studies recently for the city of West Des Moines, the cities of Moline, Davenport, and Rock Island, Illinois, as well as we're a regular hire for the Iowa Finance Authority. We do something for them every year called the Iowa Dashboard. It looks a little bit like this, a kind of an analysis of their needs, of their housing needs. We report about economics, demographics, and housing. If you look very carefully at this, you'll also see that it says state, county, and city. We already do Story County. We already do the city of Ames. It's certainly not at the level that you wish to do, so there will be additional work that will be required, but at least we're not starting from zero. We have a running start. We also work for many other jurisdictions, and here is just a sample of those jurisdictions, states of Mississippi, Nebraska, Wyoming, North Dakota, Montana, others as well, and I have a representative sample of cities, small cities like Bismarck, North Dakota, larger cities like L.A. County, or Prince William County, Virginia. We have a large number of jurisdictions that we work on behalf of, and we work with them all the time. So each year we work with many of them. We have several people who we use for this project. Myself, Robert M. Godin, I'm the operating partner. Tim Gottkatru, the director of research. Megan Brace, senior project manager. Brandon Giotti, GIS and data analyst. Kristen Bennett, Captain Rossin, and Spencer Keating. Together, we will be preparing and conducting this research on your behalf. It's important to understand we have a five-phase project. At the orientation, we'll have a kickoff meeting. You know, we maybe will review the contents of the survey, provide you an opportunity to provide input, we'll edit that, maybe we exchange other information. Then phase two, we have data collection, collection and evaluation of demographics, economic and housing data. You know, in phase three, we'll draw the inferences from both quantitative and qualitative analysis. Qualitative is from the survey and other public input issues. And we'll try to quantify existing need, housing need by tenure and income, and the future housing need by income and tenure. Then we'll begin to prepare a draft report for internal review, give that to you for your review, and then maybe we'll revise the sequence of priorities a little bit based on your perspective, and then present and prepare the final report. All these things will be conducted in an ordinary research fashion, diligent, detailed, methodical. In phase one, a little more detail about that, we'll have an exchange of information, such as the geospatial data for low-mod areas, an email list for the survey. We'll review the survey. We'll have two versions. One is online and one to be distributed via printed format. We'll confirm our selection of alternative options. We've presented three options. Option one is three focus groups. Option two are stakeholder consultation webinars. Option three is the Ames Housing Study and Needs Assessment, fairly significant option. And then select dates and times for the schedule, kind of pinpointing dates or at least a week when things will happen. We kind of like to lay it out at the beginning so that we get this kind of structured so that when it comes time for these things to occur, we've planned ahead, we know when they're going to be and so on. And then we begin our progress review process. In phase two, we begin the data collection. Phase one is a real short kind of a meeting and a progress review. Phase two, we have already started, but we begin the data collection of economic, demographic, housing, the number of persons by race, household income by range, poverty, age cohorts of the population. We submit a data extract to the county assessor. That particular effort is significant. What we're trying to get with that is the condition of the physical properties. That's the best way to do it. Rather than doing a drive-by of 15 units, we can actually get all the housing units from the extract from the county assessor, and they have condition variables. It'll tell us what's going on. We can also collect labor and BEA data, offer a perspective on trends in the data, segment the data by median family income, build a housing demand forecast. In this process, it's a huge effort. We're going to be building an idea of what the future looks like.
Muted.
Or I mean rent or own. We begin to assess our preliminary and housing needs surveys, what people are saying. We decipher these comprehensive housing needs by tenure and income and submit progress memos every 2 weeks throughout the entire process. In phase three, we begin to compile and analyze these needs. we begin drawing inferences from both the quantitative and qualitative data. We determine gaps in the housing need. You know, that spike in your buddy income.
Sir, can you hear us?
We finish up doing the housing demand forecast. We determine the degree of future housing need. We hold a progress review meeting and continue to do any progress review memos throughout this entire time. Of course, in phase four, we're nearing the conclusion. We're kind of over the peak. We review the preliminary findings. We discuss approach for the identification of our strategies. We assess and review any tactics that might be most useful for achieving our goals. We set up a prioritization scheme for the needs assessment. We select criteria that are going to be used to measure the progress for an attainment of these goals, and we begin drafting the internal review report. In phase five, we submit the draft report for internal review. We give you some time to review that, take a look at that, get comments back to us. We produce the draft for public review document. We conduct a public review meeting. You know, again, we'll come there and make a presentation to the public. We receive the final comments, and then we edit and prepare and submit the final report. I want to emphasize that the West team has more than 50 years of collective experience creating these types of research reports. West has got extensive experience in presenting the findings of the housing study and needs assessment type studies. West is taking a unique but tested approach to the Story County Housing Study and Needs Assessment. We've done it before. We'll do it again for your unique circumstances. Tentatively, the schedule is set up to start sometime in the middle of next month, conclude by early October. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you may have. I'm delighted to be here talking with you this morning, and so thank you very much.
Thank you. Can you hear us, sir? Okay. What, Jim, can you let them know that...
I can't hear the phone, the caller.
What would you like me to tell him?
Why don't you tell him?
Can I hear the phone caller?
Yeah. Tell him that I'm talking and he can't hear me, so we're going to have to converse via chat and ask questions. Does that make sense?
I'm going to have to move this, I guess.
Can you do the chat? Can you... It was up there.
I cannot hear the phone caller. You might try entering something in the chat, Mrs. Cox. Yes. The chat box says we are talking, but you cannot hear us. That is true. We'll have to chat. That sounds great.
Okay, then let me ask the other two supervisors if you have any questions, and I think we'll need to keep them brief. Tim will enter them in the chat for us. Thank you.
This is Supervisor Olson. I tracked.
I still don't have any messages.
And
you might also try calling 503-806-4892, which is my phone, and that time then I would be more than happy to take any questions.
Well, we can't have him on speaker. The speaker won't really work that way. Can you just tell him we're going to chat?
Or I can call you.
You
just need to type that number in the chat box.
Okay. So go back, get rid of iTrack, and just say, I am familiar with the work you did for the statewide item.
I see your comment.
And you
will chat.
You were
I'm sorry. Are you familiar with the work you did with what?
With.
I still cannot hear you.
Tell him that we'll call him on the conference call.
Yeah, just
a direct ask for his number and we'll call him on the conference call. Thank you, Alyssa.
Yep. My number again is 503.
Tell him to wait.
806-4892.
Okay, written down.
I got it.
Yeah. Tell us when you want it. Okay.
All right.
503-806-4892. We just have to go on.
Yeah.
At this point, we've got other people waiting. We've got people waiting for agency reports. If we can, if we can have him back and get some phone conversation going near the end, but I don't know how you'll be able to do that.
We're trying to try and reschedule something.
Just
try in an hour.
Tell him that we'll call him on the
We'll call him after we are done with the rest of our meeting. Because we can't. We've got too many people waiting. Yeah, tell him to try to call him and get his voicemail. Sandra, do you want to see if the next presenter can come in? We appreciate it. Thanks. Again, everybody, thanks for your patience with us. We apologize.
Yeah, but it was more technical.
Yeah.
He'll be escorted in.
Okay. So, Kim, thank you.
Yeah.
So, can we have the presenter sit there?
Yep.
Okay.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you folks doing this morning?
Fine. Well, we're doing okay. How are you?
Better than I deserve.
And what is your name, please?
Keith Carl with Hannah Keith.
Keith Carl?
Yes.
Okay.
C-A-R-L.
Okay. And I have a brief statement to read about our process. So if you can just leave cards there if you want to. And then we'd be glad to hear your presentation.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. So we're hearing presentations today from selected consultants that responded to our RFP to develop the housing study. Thank you for submitting a proposal. Today is so we can hear more from you. You're going to be allowed 10 minutes to present, and then there'll be time to follow with questions and answers by the Board of Supervisors here. We're not going to have any discussion or deliberation at today's meeting. We're planning to do that next week. But we would like to have a brief opportunity after your 10-minute presentation to ask you some quick questions.
Okay.
So I'm Linda Merkin. This is Loris Olson and Lisa Heddens.
You can sit in
the
chair.
Oh, just
one. For the recorder.
Okay.
Okay.
I do have a couple of project samples if you'd like me to just pass those out real quick.
Okay, you can just leave them for us.
Can you leave them?
Well, these are our actual ones out of the office, but I can send you the emails if you wish.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to allow our firm, Hannah Keelan Associates, to be a part of this housing study or this housing needs assessment for Story County. My name is Keith Carl. I am with Hannah Keelan Associates. We're a community planning and research consulting firm based out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We've been in business now for 42 years. We're in our 42nd year of operation, putting together community and countywide comprehensive plans, redevelopment plans for neighborhoods, and what I'm here to discuss today, which would be the countywide housing needs assessment for Story County. We have four planners in our office with a combined 95-plus years of professional community and regional planning experience. The two things I want to hammer about on our firm is, number one, we're a planning-centric firm. Our main focus is community and regional planning, especially around the Midwest. We've put together over 500 housing studies for counties and communities in Nebraska, in Iowa, Kansas, South Dakota, Wyoming. You know, we're all over the Midwest, and we do a really good job. We have really good clients that we work with, and everybody's been very receptive, very accepting of our work. So, you know, we're very planning-centric. We're a planning-focused firm, which allows us to, you know, go after planning projects such as this one. The second thing I want to hammer on is, you know, we're kind of a ma-and-pa shop, not necessarily a major corporation planning event or planning organization. We're very small. We have four planners in our office. That allows us to keep ourselves busy but efficient. We're very busy and very efficient in our work. Like I said, we've been in business for 42 years. I've been with the firm myself for 12 years. I may be in Nebraska, but Iowa born, Iowa raised, cycling proud all the way. Had to throw that out there. But, you know, again, we're very happy at the opportunity that you've given us. We really appreciate being here, so I thank you very much. The proposal that we have submitted includes very comprehensive, very broad scope of projects that that we intend to implement throughout the housing study process. You've noticed within the proposal we've highlighted a 10-month timeline. We think that is that's a good, very broad timeline that we'd be able to complete all of our projects. And you know, if we feel the necessary need to kind of accelerate our efforts within that project, we can complete it even sooner in that within that 10-month process. So you know, it just kind of depends on how well we're moving along and how well our work is going. The big thing to hit on is the citizen participation piece. You know, we always feel that planning is most effective on any level when it involves as much of the general public as possible. So we do have a very thorough citizen participation process that we participate in. It includes surveys. We have a couple of community-wide and county-wide housing surveys that we like to implement. That would be working with you folks on the commission. That would also be working with, you know, maybe a localized housing steering committee, if you feel it's necessary to kind of get some players from, you know, maybe major employers or community representatives. You know, whatever you feel is necessary, we'd be able to. We work very well with those different types of groups. We do a very comprehensive research analysis, a research piece utilizing data from the U.S. Census, the American Community Survey Estimate, as well as taking a look at local data. You know, what projects have been completed, what studies have been completed for communities as it relates to comprehensive plans, as it relates to, you know, other housing studies. And we take a thorough look at kind of where the community has, where the community or the counties have been, and kind of where they're going as it relates to housing development and different measures as it relates even to housing rehabilitation. We take a look mostly at new development and rehabilitation as well. When we've collected all of our data, we put everything together into a target demand piece, and we're taking a look at what's the demand for housing for each of these communities over a 5-year period, over a 10-year period, you know, what you folks have specifically identified in your RFP or in your scope of work, and we can take a look at, you know, different housing projections, not only as it relates to what your total demand is, but also looking at, you know, income sectors, which low income, middle income, upper income sectors, you know, what's the demand in each of those pieces? What's the demand for specific population groups, like your elderly population, your special needs populations, your family or workforce populations? I know workforce housing is a very big discussion topic across the Midwest. You know, how do we get housing for local employees, and how do we get employers to, you know, kind of participate in that process and ensure that there is a cohesive effort among major employers in the communities? That how can they participate in being part of the local housing market? We take a look at various price products. You know, what's the affordable rent or what's the affordable purchase price going to be for housing in each of those income sectors. So we want to take a look at some of that different information. We get real specific with our data. So we are able to present an assessment or a guide per se that will be used by the county and by each of the communities that are looking to bolster their housing stock, be it through a rehabilitation effort or through a new housing development effort. Our studies provide you with a housing action plan. These are specifically detailed projects and specific initiatives for the purpose of being implemented by your local communities, by the rural county. To take a look at anything from, organizational programs such as maybe a local investment club, workforce housing initiatives, elderly housing initiatives, and things of that nature. We'll take a look at housing for middle-income persons, housing for upper-income persons. Is there a specific housing need in the community, such as a nursing facility or assisted living? We want to give you very specific projects that we feel, based upon our data, can be implemented within your communities. We attach a cost proposal for those projects and what's an estimated cost going to be as it relates to that particular initiative, and also a cost subsidy, as we coined the term. What's the potential for grant funding to be a part of this process? That would help kind of buy down the cost of a development project. And one of the things that we think is most important is identifying funding sources. We want to identify local, state, and regional and federal funding sources that could play a part in maybe a housing recovery project, maybe it's a housing rehab project. There's different buckets of money out there, and we've always felt that the greater the number of partnerships or the number of funding sources that you've identified, the more buckets of money you can tap into as it relates to a housing development or rehabilitation project. So we want to make our studies implementation-based, and not just something that's going to sit on the shelf. We want it to be something that every community in Story County is going to be able to use to bolster their housing stocks and rehabilitate, distressed areas of housing. We've also included, a proposal in there with the City of Ames and without the City of Ames. Obviously left up to your discretion if that community is going to be included as part of this process. So we've broken down a couple of different cost scenarios and timeline within our scope of work or within our proposal. I do want to mention one thing too, just as a final wrap up here. We are aware of Alliant Energy in their efforts to create a program that could allow for counties and communities to potentially apply for a match grant as part of a buy-down piece for the cost of the housing study. I don't know the specifics of that yet. That program is still kind of a work in progress, but we've been in direct contact with Mark Seckman, who's the economic development officer for the state of Iowa through Alliant Energy, and we're aware of the program that they are trying to work with in helping counties and communities sort of buy down the cost of their housing studies. But again, just to wrap up, we do, like I said, we've done over 500 housing studies across the Midwest. We're some of the best in the business, and we're a locally based firm that everybody in our office is going to know what's going on with the project. So, nothing's going to be passed around from person to person. We keep everything very centralized, very localized in our office so that everybody is in the know of kind of what our processes are and how we're moving forward with different projects.
Okay.
So with that, I conclude. And any questions or comments that you may have, I'd be happy to answer them.
Lisa, we'll start with you this time.
Yep, I have at least one question from your presentation. I appreciate you being here today, and you're talking about how you do your kind of your focus groups. How do you kind of go out and elicit folks to participate? If you're not kind of right in the area, you kind of talked about looking at housing, other coalitions and stuff, but is there like a reach out to like mayors or other people right in the community? Are you visible in that particular community?
Yes. We want to be the visible eye. We want to be in the communities and learning about what makes them tick, and learning about what their development histories have been, what their specific issues are. We have a very extensive field work process where we will drive up and down every single street if we have to, and kind of just learn the communities. I mean, we want to put ourselves into those different communities, and that would require talking with local elected officials and general citizenry and local leadership. We strongly encourage any committee that's formed by any of these communities that they have representatives from, you know, not just the general citizenry, but also, you know, mayors, or maybe it's a major employer in the community. We want to find out what their specific issues are, and I think that's the best way, is if we get our people out into those communities and find out what local leadership is like and kind of what their specific issues are.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for asking that one. Okay, that took one off my list. Okay, you talked about possible projects, your report talking about some possible projects for individual communities and financing. Now, we are already paying for professional assistance on some of that through our Economic Development Corporation. In addition, we've got a couple of very experienced city administrators, okay, who are aware of financing also. And I'm also looking at some folks from the rural center who might be aware of some in the unincorporated areas. How would you perceive pulling those people in, and how much time would you be spending on that piece given the resources may already be here?
Very good question. Thank you for that. We want to have open communication with city administrators, with mayors, and with people who are actively in the communities, you know, determining where the target areas for housing rehab are located, where the target areas for new housing development are located. We want to have specific kind of one-on-one conversations with, you know, mayors and city administrators in these communities, because I feel those are the people who are most experienced in the development components of a community. They're going to be the ones that know all about where the community is going in terms of trends for new housing development, trends for housing rehabilitation, growth areas in the community, and they're going to be able to, you know, tell us about new projects, you know, any new projects proposed or anything currently being developed. And you know, those are some of the most experienced people in any community, especially if you're a long-term city administrator. You know, you've basically seen the community from all aspects, from all points, from all parts of the local corporate limits. And we want to have them be part of the process, because you know, they're going to tell us the full story about the community, and that's going to help us put together a more holistic report, and specifically identifying issues, you know, on a community by community basis.
And how about the financing part of it, or the grants part, et cetera? How
Are you talking about like kind of grant administration
No, you had made mention about that you make sure that your reports come back with possible solutions, which are projects in this case, probably.
Right.
Okay, and the possible financing options available, et cetera. So that's what my question is about, working with not only identifying possible projects, but how much time are you going to put into that, given maybe the resources that are already available here?
Sure.
Let me expand into versus how much time are you going to spend out with public participation and public connection?
Well, it's kind of a two-pronged effort. You know, you want to get as much public participation and knowledge of your communities as you can. When you're looking for different funding sources for these different projects, we have a really good connection across the Midwest, across the state of Iowa, and on a federal level, too, of different funding programs that have been utilized in communities that we've worked in. So to be able to specifically identify, you know, we're taking a look at, it might be cost of materials, it might be a weatherization project, it may be, you know, depending on if it's extensive rehabilitation, or substantial rehabilitation, or moderate rehabilitation, you know, how much is that going to cost? And then we have local partnerships that we can attach to those projects that can potentially assist with funding that. You know, for a lot of the studies that we put together, we're mostly looking at the implementation side of that. And there's different buckets of money out there that can be tapped into.
Okay. And that's why I'm asking this, to maybe help you, because I know it's tough to respond to. But we've got a lot of those types of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just want to know, are we going to get back a report where you spend a lot of time and a lot of money giving us information we already know? That's
where I'm headed. Right. And I would say, to answer that question, you know, that's what we want to find out from you folks, is what direction do you folks want to go, or you know, what direction have you been that maybe hasn't been successful, and we want to put together the report that's going to lead you in the direction that you want the communities in the county to eventually grow and progress with.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I have a couple questions. First one is so that everybody understands that Story County right now does not have a program for funding to develop housing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking for some direction to, if we're going to do that from this study. But the other thing I'm seeing is you're talking about looking at the smaller communities. Will the plan you bring back address each community specifically to some extent?
Yes.
Because that's what I'm hoping is that they would also, for McCallsburg or Collins or wherever, that it would give some specifics for the leaders in that local community.
Right. And to answer that question, for the action plan, the housing action plan that I talked about, it's not just community or county-wide. You know, we have a specific number of units for each community that we feel they're going to be able to support through a development initiative. So, you know, we will give guidance to each individual community.
And will you be addressing rehabilitating existing housing, infill, as well as development outside of any, you know, current city limits?
Right. Whenever we're putting together a countywide housing study, we'll take a look at each individual community as well as the rural county or the balance of county, as we've sometimes referred to it as. Because there's a need for housing all across the board, and it's unique to each individual community. So that's why we have our fieldwork process, we have our data research process, and then we put all that information together. And after doing a couple of interviews and maybe some listening sessions in there too, of what the demand for housing is going to be in each of those communities.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Ames 2040 plan development?
Yes, I've researched the plan a little bit. We're still kind of reading through that as well, but I know they have their own initiatives going on as it relates to housing development and community betterment too.
And one of my concerns is 15,000 people by 2040 is what they're looking at. And from what I've seen in that, they've got some minimum infill that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But primarily, are they going north, east, south, east, west, whatever? Takes up a lot of prime agricultural land. I'm looking at this study personally saying, are there things that can happen in our smaller communities that maybe take some of that 15,000 load off and create more infill opportunities there and places that people might want to live even though they work in Ames, to take some pressure off of that, what I see as just gobbling up lots more agricultural land and we're not making any more of it.
Right. And I think my personal theory with communities is you have to build what's inside your corporate limits before you branch out. You have to do the infill projects. You have to find ways to make housing more marketable in your community before you can reach out into those agricultural lands and start building new subdivisions. It's all about the core of the community and creating a very strong, very robust housing market before you can branch out, because then that it leaves the communities kind of forgetting some of their core areas and their core values of housing, especially when there's such a large concentration of historic housing. If that goes by the wayside, then that's much tougher to rehabilitate, and just for an example.
Thank you. Are there any final questions?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I did get the reference at the beginning. I listened to Mr. Ramsey while I was in the car, too.
Somebody got it.
Radio station. I got it, yeah.
I always throw that out there and just see how many eyelids raise or lower.
Our in town radio station plays in every day, Monday through Friday.
I'll be listening to them on the way home.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, can I just pass out my business cards?
Certainly. Yeah, sure.
Okay, well,
you can just hand them to me and we'll hand down.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sounds like there's some further discussion on the alliance program. Mm-hmm. So I've met Mark before through an AUBC event. Yeah.
We had a presentation.
Huh?
We had a presentation.
Yeah, but Jeff didn't bring it for up. But he didn't know what exactly the program would look like. It sounds like there's been a little more further development. Wipe you off, get you off the hook, right?
Hello.
Morning.
You'll be presenting from the table right in, it's right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Okay.
So you can have a seat and introduce yourself, and then I have a brief statement.
Okay. Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me here today. My name's Amy. Can you hear me okay? My name's Amy Hazy. I'm with RDG Planning and Design.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Linda Merkin. I'm Chair of Board of Supervisors. We have Loris Olson and Lisa Heddens also with us. And we are hearing presentations today from selected consultants who responded to our request for proposals for a housing study. Thank you so much for submitting the proposal. We'll hear more from you today. We're going to give you 10 minutes to present, and then we're going to follow that by a brief question and answer period from the Board of Supervisors. We're not going to discuss proposals today or make any deliberation at today's meeting. We're tentatively scheduling that for a meeting next Tuesday. So we intend to select a consultant then, hope we're able to, and begin contract negotiations. So with that statement, I'll turn it over to you for a 10-minute presentation.
Okay. Well, great.
Again.
Well, yeah, sure. I know brevity is always appreciated, especially when you have long meetings. So we appreciate this opportunity to be here today and to talk with you and answer any questions that you might have. We've had the pleasure of working here before. I'll go a little bit about my background, I guess. I've been doing this for about 20 years now, almost. A number of you maybe know my partner, Marty Schuker, who's been involved in the area frequently. We've been doing housing studies together for that entire time and had that pleasure of working across the region. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. RDG's had the enormous pleasure of working with a lot of communities across the state with our offices in Des Moines. I'm actually based in our Omaha office, but it's great to get over here to this region of Iowa whenever I possibly can. I want to talk a little bit about the process that we would go through, and I think some of the things that I think will probably distinguish us a little bit. I always describe the beginning of our process as kind of having two core components. So the overall piece is kind of laid out in kind of three pieces, but at the very beginning we have two core components. There is the data analysis, the number crunching piece. It's, you know, the part where we can all kind of geek out a little bit, as I describe it, and we can look at the numbers and dig around. And the other part is, you know, we love to kind of set other benchmarks. What other kind of communities or counties can we be looking at that we want to see how we compare to those sorts of things, too? And also looking at the projection. Where are we going? What do we think our future population is going to look like? How does that relate to the demand we're going to have? I think over and over again, what we're seeing in so many communities, though, is how has where we've come from also been really important? Because how have we maybe not been building what we've needed to be building in the last 10 years, too? So how do we address that piece of the issue also? I think can be an essential piece of that, too. Maybe that's the former history teacher in me. The other piece of it, the other piece that we combine is, I always say the numbers tell us one piece of the story. The other piece of the story is to really understand what's happening on the ground today in the communities. So to do that, we really, two of the core ways that we do that is through a round of listening sessions. In a county study, we're going to want to probably try to hold them around the county. I would not want to hold them all in one location. Like, I would not want to hold them all here in Nevada. I'd want to find two or three other communities that we go out to. We will spend time in each community visiting, taking some field notes of what's happening with regards to housing and so forth in each one of those communities, and then holding maybe, you know, we can kind of decide this at the beginning, but it might be by quadrants or however we decide it kind of makes sense, but holding some listening sessions in each of those areas too. The listening sessions are, can also be combined with a survey, and we have a couple different surveys that we do. We can also do kind of a hybrid. Traditionally, what we've been doing, there's two or three that we do frequently. One is just kind of what I describe as kind of a general survey. And it describes, it can go out to anybody in the county. It's pretty broad in that sense of understanding what their experiences maybe been in the housing market, where they think the gaps are, how supportive they might be for rehab and demolition programs, those sorts of things. Excuse me, I've been getting over a cold. The other ones, and we do a couple other ones potentially. We've also done a workforce housing survey, which is usually like just a little quick half sheet of paper. And our target market there often are the individuals who are working here in the county but not living here in the county. So what's impacting their housing decisions that they're making, and maybe what price points would they be looking in and needing to get into. The other one that we will sometimes do is also a little bit more of kind of a landlord rental survey, where we're trying to really get our hands around what's really happening in the rental market. What we have found between the censuses is that some of the vacancy numbers in our smaller communities get really wonky. That's my technical description of it. And so sometimes we like to do these landlord or rental vacancy surveys to get a better understanding of what's really happening with regards to vacancies in our smaller communities. So we combine the number crunching piece with what we're learning on the ground to identify the next piece of it. Where's our gaps? Where's our opportunities? What's our clear goals that we need to establish? And then finally, the part that's really important to us is what do you do with this? So you now you have this information, you have data. There's a lot of firms that can provide you with that. But what do you do with it? How do you move forward? What are some strategies to be thinking about? And in a county study, I really like to think about it a little bit as kind of almost like a menu in a way. There's going to be things in those strategies that one community might look at and say, that makes sense for us, we can do that. But for another community, they might say, that doesn't necessarily, but this strategy makes a little more sense. I also hope there's some things in there that they would say, let's do this together, let's work jointly together. We see that a lot of times. We talk about that a lot on things related to, say, code enforcement, where maybe one rural community struggles to staff that on their own, but let's share our resources together to do those sorts of things. So finding things where we can also share resources and strategies to implement. So that's kind of a broad overview of kind of our process. We will have the listening sessions. Once we put the draft together, we would also come back and do a presentation of the final report to stakeholders and share with them what we've heard and learned. Again, I would probably like to try to do that in more than one location in the county. So maybe in one day we do a morning and a lunch and an evening session, and there's these three different locations around the county so everybody can come back out and hear and learn about the process as much as possible. So that's kind of our process. We've been doing this, again, 20 to 30 years, and have had the pleasure of working a lot of different places. I have a few examples, too. I guess I can pass around where you guys are. You guys? Okay.
Only if you could leave them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The 300 went down. I wasn't going to pass this around, but for those of you who might not remember, we had the pleasure of working with Story County in the late 1990s. On the housing study, and it was actually featured in American Planning Association report on regional housing strategies. It was interesting to look at because it reinforced to me how the issues that we're dealing with today are the same and different at the same time. There's still the issues that we find of how do we address the affordability part of it, because the market doesn't always have ways to deal with it. But back in these days, we were dealing with insanely high interest rates. So, it was strategies of how to get around that, and there were some good programs put in place at that time. So we've had the pleasure and honor of working here, and we hope we can do that again with you. So happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Doris, do you want to start this time?
A little bit about then the surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are those or how do you push those surveys and the types of vehicles that would be offered for that?
Sure. Excuse me. We usually do, they're set up digitally, and that's how we will initially a lot of times promote them. We usually suggest, there's so many different ways that we've used over the years. But frequently today, what we're seeing more and more is anywhere we can use the social media, our local news outlets and their social media presence, their websites and social media presences that they can help sometimes with. But we've also had, you know, we've maybe had great success with the water bills that the smaller communities, if we can get information in about the survey within the billing that goes out that everybody's going to potentially see. That's another great way to reach out to as many people as we can. You know, we've been, housing is becoming such an important core issue. We're seeing some really high response rates on the housing study surveys. So, you know, as long as you can get the word out usually, and there's usually quite a bit of interest, we've had some pretty good luck. But, yeah, I think the best ways we found is probably through, well, for one, we will kick it off with the invitations for all the listening sessions. We'll include the survey link, and we'll ask everybody there to share it through their contacts that they know. And then we'll work with each of the communities to work with them of how they notify the public in different ways, whether that's through their social media outlets or however they tend to let people know.
I'm going to assume that your quote does not include costs of maybe some postage, et cetera, if in the smaller communities they were asked to fill something out with a postage return, but that could be included.
It could be. We don't do a lot of that anymore just because, I mean, we can. We did it. But the other way that I said digitally, but we also will do paper copies and we'll leave them at the senior centers, at the libraries, at the city halls. And then we'll have, we'll just usually have to go around and collect them at different locations and send them all back, and then we'll input them in and not ask the individuals to mail them back in, just so they can leave them there or drop them off at a location, and we'll have one collection point is usually what we do. But yes, we definitely want to have some paper copies for certain locations or individuals who just aren't comfortable with the digital version.
Okay, thank you.
And in fact, the workforce housing survey we've sometimes done is literally like tear off from a little tablet and drop it in a box in like a break room.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And thanks for coming in your presentation today. Excuse me. So one of my questions, you talked about at the end of the process of going and doing some of the presentations, what your findings are, whether it be, you know, here or throughout the community. Would your presentation include recommendations, like your suggestions? What should you do? Is it targeted at specific communities? Is it prior? Would it be something prioritized as, you know, gosh, we see this would be good for Collins, would be like your first to go to, but Nevada would be, I mean, is it something like that? How comprehensive is that? And does that also include funding sources that might be available, whether they're state or national?
Yes. Yep. So that last, very last section, that's exactly what it is. It's our strategies of how to address the issues and opportunities that we have, what potential funding sources would be, who our partners should be. I think that's really essential in this process is, you know, who's going to be the partners at the table. I've said this, I'm saying this more and more, that it's not just the cities and the counties. It really takes much more than that to accomplish real changes in what's happening and to address some of the issues that we're having in housing. It takes a lot of different partners being at the table, from our major employers to, you know, our local philanthropic organizations within each community to our developers and builders. So, sorry, I got off a little bit there in answering your question. Yes. At each one of those, we would go through, here's our findings and here's our recommendations on some different strategies. What we would usually do is, it's probably going to be based on who I think's in the room. If I sense it's very much, you know, this community is highly represented, I'm probably going to reference them a little bit more and give them a little bit more context within the presentation. So we'll read the room and deliver what we think is the information they're probably most interested in as on a local level, understanding that the study needs to cover the whole county and trying to read the room of who's in there and what their main interest is going to be that day.
Yeah. So would you anticipate also going out to each of the communities I know you kind of mentioned, you know, doing your listing posts or maybe doing, I think, kind of quadrants, but would you actually be in each of the communities so that you have kind of a better idea of the landscape?
Yeah. Yep. So we would, absolutely. We'll visit each of the communities doing driving tours, or depending on the time of the year, we might even do it on bike. But we'll do an assessment of the housing conditions where we think there are actual physical opportunities in each of the communities. So where we might think, because one of the things I always suggest, are, you know, housing rehab is a great example of this, because you can have a housing rehab program, but if it's a house scattered here and there all over the community, it's maybe not building some momentum. So maybe we want to identify a core area of the community where we would want to target to really build some momentum. To do that, we have to visit and kind of drive every street in the community.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I have a couple questions and a good presentation. Thank you. The first one is that Stark County right now, we don't have a housing program in terms of a grant program or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We're looking at this study to kind of help also figure out what our role might be.
Sure.
But also we think that each community will be looking at that, you know, we'll make this available. Mm-hmm. Are you going to give recommendations by community so that the local city officials can pick this up and say, here's recommendations that might be useful for Collins, or are you making specifically about Collins or Story City or where?
What we usually do is we have a section for each community.
Okay.
Where we look at kind of the demographics of that, what's physically happening on the ground, and then identify what are some common themes, opportunities, and issues that they need to address.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of in one core piece, and then there's usually a set, then a final chapter that here's some different strategies for dealing with different issues and themes that we heard throughout the county. So they will get some things that are very targeted to them as to here's what really you need to be thinking about, and then in another section, kind of here's your strategy.
So my second question is, I assume you're familiar with the Ames 2040 plan.
Yes.
Yes.
I worked on the housing portion of that. So.
Oh. Okay, so you may already have some of the material.
A little bit. Yes.
That would be with Ames and I.
Mm-hmm.
But my specifically, I'm realizing 15,000 by 2040 that Ames is talking about adding in terms of residents. I'm curious as to what kind of solutions you might come across or might come about in this study that might help lower that number, because that's mostly going outside of the city of Ames as opposed to infill, which really gets into agricultural lands, natural areas, and things and places that we've identified, quite frankly, as sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to think, is there potential, or would you be interested in pursuing potential of saying there's more housing opportunities out in the community, or can be, and particularly for people moving in, you mentioned the workforce that's outside of the county. I think that could be really useful to the county as a whole, to all of us.
Sure. And I haven't been as involved with the land use component on the Ames project. But I think, yes, I think, you know, right now it's really easy to get very focused on that project, on what's happening within kind of potential new development areas, and that there still is absolutely a core component of that, of how do we continue to grow within the community itself,
mm-hmm.
and really then probably within all of our communities here. But how do we continue to reinvest in our existing housing stock?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we build density in potentially too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say our best source of affordable housing is the housing we already have today that's already built. We're not going to be able to build a lot of that housing again. So that's where I think when we look at it from a broader county perspective, so many of our communities have some of that stock, but they're also not seeing it come up for sale a lot, too. But they can be great sources of some of that affordable housing for our longer-term residents that want to establish and create roots here in the county.
Thank you. Did you have another question?
Yes, I did. I'd like to follow up on that question here. We have followed the 2040 plan, been to some of the sessions to listen. And recently, Marty,
did present to the Ames City Council about, talk about infill, mm-hmm. all right, related mm-hmm. closely to what we're talking about. This is my own feeling, and then from just what you just said, but it seemed like some of the infill recommendations were idealistic. And you mentioned when you said, well, land coming up for sale. You've got to have willing sellers, et cetera. Yep. Mm-hmm. So going to our small communities now, will there also be information for them on a more practical, immediate basis? Okay? I'm not expecting you to know which properties are for sale, per se, but recognizing that the first impetus may be more of a scattered approach,
mm-hmm.
okay, would you be able and willing to include that information too, along with the more in the pie, kind of pie in the sky type of thing about using this whole block, Rita?
Sure. And, you know, in our most of our rural communities, that's not going to happen. It's going to be a single house here or there, or a business that maybe has got, you know, an old, you know, it's not an, in maybe of our mid-sized communities, you know, we've got an older grocery store area that's, you know, that we've been thinking about for a long time of what that space is going to be. And I think the thing that we're trying to encourage more people, one is how could we be thinking about those spaces differently? Because that might be a space that really is almost available today. But how can we think about it in a little bit different way that could potentially incorporate housing into it? The thing that I find really interesting too is that more and more we hear talking about adding density. You know, how do we kind of add a little bit more density, because we have the streets and the water and the sewer and all the infrastructure in these locations already, and so how can we do that? But I think if there's an important component to it of how do we balance that with community character and neighborhood character and what people are value within those areas. So how do we kind of balance those two pieces together to create really good quality development in those kind of opportunity areas? But I think sometimes, especially when we look at our core, our you know, kind of highway corridors going into our communities, where we maybe have some older businesses that are vacant, you know, how can we be capitalizing on those spaces to add some housing, maybe add density, and it seems a little less threatening to the middle of a core neighborhood, too.
Okay, thank you. My last question is your timeline here.
Okay.
Given the fact that you are the firm that's helping on the 2040 plan, and the original expectations or hopes, okay, wishful thinking about when that may be moving along, and in fact, that was part of the discussion in the previous board or whatever to do or not do this housing study. Even okay, how will you feel that you can integrate that in with the 2040 plan and still make an October deadline?
Well, I think those components of the 2040 plan, especially related to around housing and housing policy, that probably won't be a problem to meet, and those two should mesh together pretty well, I think. I don't see that as necessarily being too much of a challenge. There's things that obviously, there's things that we do as joint, and then there's things that our individual communities just, they got to keep moving ahead. And whatever Ames does, he kind of does it.
That's kind of the approach we took. Yeah. That's why I asked for the Ames quote separate. That's okay.
You're separate.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Great. So to regroup here for the supervisors, what we're going to do is we're going to do the agency reports next. And we had a message that we could call the folks from the presentation back at 11:30. I've asked to tell them 11:30 at the earliest because we need to get our agency people.
Good. Great.
Who have been so patient, and then we'll call him back when we're done with that. So we are going to have a report from Story, Soil, and Water Conservation Commission, Alicia Bauer, and Mark Chumlin, and Kayla, are you here with them?
Yes.
Kayla Bergman.
So. And I do have some copies of the documentation.
Sure.
Yeah, great.
You got them? That would be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and thanks for your patience.
Oh,
hope some of it was interesting. I thought
yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. And I have the floor?
Yes, you do.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for having us here today and for your support of the Story County Soil and Water Conservation District Board. As you mentioned, my name is Alicia Bauer. I'm the chair of the Soil and Water Conservation District Board in Story County, and Mark is my vice chair. And then Kayla Bergman here as well is an assistant commissioner with our board. And so I just wanted to come today and provide an update about what we've been doing with the financial support you've provided the board in the past couple of years. The first thing, you know, I just want to say thank you for your support. It's pretty rare across the 100 counties in Iowa that we have a collaborative working relationship, much less financial backing, between the county supervisors and the Soil and Water District. And that's really special, and we don't take that for granted. And so thank you very much. And so I thought I'd start a little bit with what is the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. And so we are a board of five commissioners. We are elected nonpartisan commissioners, and we also have some assistant commissioners who volunteer their time to help us out. And we are the sort of fiscal authority over government money going to private landowners to install conservation practices on their lands that promote soil health and water quality. And so this is different than, for example, Story County Conservation, which mostly deals with publicly owned lands. So if a private landowner wants to be implementing cover crops, a buffer strip, you know, tree planting, prairie planting, those types of things on their own land, we kind of sign off on and provide oversight over the federal and state programs that would go into, you know, compensating partially the landowner for implementing those practices. And so that is, you know, kind of our statutory reason for existing is this financial oversight. But then we also take it on ourselves to do promotion and outreach in the county to get the word out about soil health and water quality, why they're important, and let residents know that these programs are available, right, to do these practices on there, and then they could get some financial assistance in putting these practices in place. And so last year, for fiscal year 2019, you approved a budget of $15,000 to support Soil and Water Conservation District plans. And briefly here, I kind of have this list on the first sheet that I provided to you of what we did with that money. And so about $8,000 of that went to support Prairie Rivers of Iowa, which is a nonprofit, and their office is in Ames, but they work in Boone and Hamilton counties as well. And, you know, we are a volunteer board, and so we do need a little bit of staff support to kind of get this boots on the ground work done. And so we provide that support to Prairie Rivers of Iowa to put on some field days, you know, raise awareness about soil health and water quality, to produce a couple reports for us about what we've been doing, and then also to conduct some water quality monitoring so we can keep a finger on the pulse of kind of what our major resource concerns are in Story County that we need to be focused on. So that is a chunk of that money. And then last year we also had the opportunity, previously we had had a donation to Story County to buy trees and provide them to children and in schools throughout the county as kind of a way of stimulating interest in the natural world and soil health and water quality. And that funding and that stipulation on that money was expired, and so we had the opportunity to play with what we wanted to do to engage sort of school-age kids in education about soil health and water quality, and we elected to start sponsoring several Water Rocks assemblies in the county. And so Water Rocks is an Iowa State University program that goes into schools. They have assemblies. They, like, rap about water quality and why it's cool and fun and, you know, teach kids about some of these basic concepts in water quality and soil health. And we hope they're going home and telling their parents about the cool assembly they had at school, too, right? And so that was another use that we had for those funds. We sponsored five different assemblies in various schools throughout Story County last year. Then again, working with Water Rocks, you know, their current programming focuses really on those lower grade levels, elementary, maybe a little middle school, but we thought that there was really an opportunity there to also engage high schoolers, people who might be thinking of going into farming, conservation, you know, some of these professions, and so we also sponsored a pilot with Water Rocks program to develop a brand new high school targeted FFA curriculum, and they are now scheduled to present two schools, I think it's Nevada and and Gilbert. They'll be working with the FFA and the high school and those two schools to, you know, kind of premiere this new high school curriculum and then take that back and kind of work through the feedback and refining it and making it better. So that's a really exciting new project that we came up with this support. And then we also supported an event, a national conservation and action tour event that happened in Storey County last August. We provided a scholarship fund to local landowners from the county if they wanted to attend that event. And then we also advertised that opportunity of those scholarships so that local landowners, farmers could take advantage of that opportunity. And then finally, last year, we had sort of an extraordinary and wonderful situation where we had more farmers interested in accessing cover crop cost share to implement cover crops than we had funding for. And so we made the decision that it was important, you know, to kind of get people involved and support them as they were interested in trying out this really critical conservation practice. And so we elected to use some of the funds to support a cost share program that mimicked the same, you know, program they would have used for the state if it hadn't run out of funding, so that we were able to, you know, we worry if we turn people away, they're not coming back, right, in that kind of a situation. And so it's really, really important to us, and we're, you know, really thankful that we have the flexibility to kind of support those folks if we do have one or two or three over the limit of what we have allocated from the state in that regard. So that was kind of fiscal year 2019, that money and what we did with it and kind of what we took on. And then looking ahead at 2020, we're about halfway through now, and so far we've earmarked another, you know, $7,000 to support Prairie Rivers of Iowa, again on those field days, reports, water quality monitoring, and then again to support some water quality, you know, water rocks assemblies in the schools in Storey County. And we have tried to target different schools than received those last year and for this year's presentations. And then we have, you know, so that adds up to about $9,450, which means we've got a little bit left to play with, about $5,000 worth, and we will be having our annual retreat of our board in February coming up, and we'll be discussing kind of our strategic priorities. We'll update our annual plan, and we're actually going to be starting a five-year plan for kind of the conservation concerns in our county, what we want to be working on, what our strategies are at that meeting. And so we'll be considering at that time kind of what our top priorities are that we want to be pursuing with the remainder of those funds.
With FY19, the cover crop share funds that ran out, was that state or federal?
It was state, yeah. So,
because there's federal money for cover crops as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's all a twisted web of alphabet soup.
It is, and that's the one thing I think that your commission can help us sort out for people. You know, where do I go to get money for this kind of practice? And it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, what's it look like?
Yes.
I guess what I was going to ask.
Yeah, so this year, as far as the cost share is concerned.
Cost share and just practices in general.
Yeah, and practices in general. So we're kind of in the low season right now because a lot of the practices go in the fall, and so we start to get more momentum building and more, you know, interest kind of in the late spring into the summertime. So it looks like we're going to be maintaining our allocations at a similar level as last year from those state and federal programs. So we'll be having the same amount to work with, and I guess we'll just see who all wants to take advantage of those programs and seeing if we want to support, you know, some county cost share as well.
So for the $555, how many did you pay for? Because knowing nothing about this as far as crop share costs or whatever. So
yeah.
What is, okay, so how many did that pay for?
So generally the structure is that a farmer receives about $15 an acre for the cover crops that are planted, for every acre that they're planted. And so this, then, if we do the math backwards, would be 37? 37 acres of cost share. But we did have some additional funds, you know, just in our own reserves and accounts from different, you know, in enterprises, I guess, that Story County has had in the past. And so we actually supported more than 37 acres for, I think, two farmers. We paid for a county cost share, you know, on our own, separate from IDOL's funding. And so I think that most commonly we have people sign up for 160-acre contracts. So my guess would be that it was about 200 acres of that we supported for the Soil and Water Conservation District.
And how about for the water rocks? I quickly did the math for Nevada and Gilbert. It was about $1,800 each.
Okay. Yep. So that one is the development of the high school curriculum as well. So that was not only, that was a new program area for Water Rocks that we were interested in seeing, you know, can we develop a curriculum that is targeted towards this group? So it wasn't only the assemblies themselves, but also kind of the work that went into developing that curriculum.
So if you were given a small amount of increase, saying, hey, that sounds like it's a really great program or whatever, you're anticipating, would you anticipate if you took it to other high schools that it would be less per high school given the curriculum's now done?
Yes. I think I would expect that eventually it would get down to 350 each, as is their kind of standard cost for their elementary programs that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be awesome if it, like, this went statewide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these FFA programs were provided outside of Story County, and, you know, other counties got in on this and started adopting this as well. So,
okay, thank you.
How about Prairie Strips? Have you heard anyone interested in Prairie Strips? I heard that the Farm Service Agency NRCS would have money this year for Prairie Strips, or that would be a practice.
Yeah, this is a great thing. After 4 years of not funding new CRP contracts, the federal government now decided to do that, and Prairie Strips is a practice that are approved for new CRP contracts. And it's what I'm going to be going over to the office and try to sign up my farm for after we're done here.
What percentage of the tilled land, or what percentage of land has to go into Prairie Strips? Is there a recommendation?
This is all new. Prairie Strips haven't been used as a CRP practice before. So.
You'll find out and let us all know.
Sure.
Okay. I'm interested. Thank you. Any other questions?
I don't. My questions got answered through Laura's couple questions that she had. So.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for your volunteer effort.
Yes.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you both. Okay. And thank you for your patience again. We appreciate it.
And if you have individually any thoughts you want to email or call later on about how we would incorporate rural housing more into the housing survey, you know, please weigh in with us. We won't make that decision until next week on which contractor. Okay, thanks.
Okay. And next we'll go to Veterans Affairs Support of the Report, Brett McClain. And thank you for waiting as well.
It's all been interesting.
Good.
All right, this is for our quarterly report, which covers October 1st, 2019 to December 31st, 2019. Greetings from the Commission of Veterans Affairs. Commissioners Pat Pekin is our chair, Amy Rosenberg our secretary. Members are Monty Woodward, Nick Brisanto, and Luke Vance. One veteran was eligible for rent assistance during the quarter for $397. So that was our total balance out of county. We probably had 12 denials during that time. So we assisted one out of that. During the second quarter, we interviewed 328 veterans and or surviving spouses for eligibility for federal, state, and county VA benefits. The breakdown of 328, 253 for men, 75 women, 41 served during World War II, 46 Korea, 122 Vietnam. There was a typo. You're probably seeing 17 for Persian Gulf. That's 14. 20 for the Cold War or peacetime. and then 25 who served during Iraq or Afghanistan, OIF, OEF, or OND. And we had 60 surviving spouses of veterans that we visited with. For our hometown outreach program, we did that in October. October 9th, I was in Colo all day, the 23rd in Collins, and on the 30th in Kelly. And then during all those visits, I visited with 16 veterans and 4 surviving spouses. Our fall VA school was October 15th, 16th, and 17th. That was in Des Moines. We had 2 staff members and 3 commissioners. During our business meeting, somehow I was elected for a 2-year term to serve as Sergeant at Arms, and also elected on the executive board, as well as the education committee and the state fair committee.
Congratulations.
We'll be doing that.
You'll be busy.
Yeah. Our supermarket was November the 15th of 2019. In attendance, we had 19 agencies and staff, 117 veterans and spouses, all 3 county supervisors, the county treasurer, the county assessor, planning and zoning director, and the county outreach coordinator. Pretty good. Great turnout. 110 care packages were handed out to veterans. 28 haircuts were given, and 32 enrollments in VA health care, along with flu shots. Our Iowa Veterans Home donation drive, those items were delivered in December. I want to thank everybody who donated an item or cash. And thanks to Fred Vogeltein and Ted Rasmussen for their help. Our upcoming event is tomorrow. Veterans Day at the Capitol is tomorrow. If there's any veterans that need a ride, give me a call and we'll get you down there. That's all I have, Board. Any
Thank
questions
you.
For
Any
me?
Any questions?
I know you've been busy. Busy
yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
You bet. You bet.
Okay, then next we will go to Workforce Solutions and Economic Development Quarterly Reports with Brenda Dreyer and Dustin Ng. Good morning.
Hey.
Morning.
Good morning.
If you can get it on, that's fine. If not, we can go for printed reports.
Oh, this is more on the child care. I think I paused and flipped the paper here. Maybe there's one more for Shelley.
They can follow.
Okay, so we're going to go off of a printed report that we have here in front of us, the one that we shared with the county. Instead of the slide shared here on the screen. Just to start out, I want to talk about metrics and how I've reported data to you in the past on counting our interactions with our rural communities and the actual kind of nitty-gritty of the outreach. I've given a lot of thought and really chatted about this with my colleagues about how to best report that data to you. And so the way that I want to do it this year is looking at 2 components. One would be what I would call impact projects. Those are not necessarily business development projects. Those could include things like the strategic plan that we're working on with the Rural Area Development Corporation. It can include anything that's going to have some sort of benefit to the community. But the idea is that I will tell you each quarter how many are ongoing, how many are completed, and how many were closed. And so for this year, just in the communications that we've had in January, there are already 8 impact projects that we're working on. Some of those are various stages, right? So we're looking at conceptual stage, just starting to float the idea, and maybe something can happen there that will be ongoing. 2 things, like I mentioned, the strategic plan, which we're very close to wrapping up with the Rural and Area Development Corporation. And then the other piece of this is a metric that you had in the past called connections. Those are basically interactions, the actual outreach to the communities. And we had about 400 connections last year alone. But what I really wanted to do for you was break those down in terms of what connection is a call, text, or email, what's a meeting, what's an off-site visit, and then a cumulative number. And just to make this clearer for you in terms of our outreach efforts, also I'd like you, and you can see this in the table here, the distribution of those metrics is also, I think, something that you'd probably like to see in terms of which communities we've interacted with. The reason being is some of them are going to be more resourceful than others and have really, you know, I guess, not that they can do everything on their own necessarily, but some of them like to try to be resourceful, and others are using our services almost every day. And so I want to make sure that this year especially we're really thinking about the breadth as well as the depth of our services. So any questions on those real quick?
So down under the connections,
mm-hmm.
So what is the time period covered there?
So this would be just from January. This is just this month.
Okay.
That's right. And so you'll operate on fiscal year. I have numbers as well for last year about just the general connections that I mentioned. But this would be starting January onward.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions about that?
Just on your process for your reporting. So when you're talking about projects that are in like an initial phase or
mm-hmm.
conceptual or almost completed, do you have a timeline for that, or can you also provide to us when the project initially started and when it was completed?
You bet. And so
it would just for me, it would just be nice to know what's the processing.
In some of those, in all of those, I would hope would have some sort of deadline so that there's demonstrable progress for the community. Some of those you're also already aware of, like the project in Cambridge that's already acquired so many sources of funding.
Right.
That has a completion date. We'll know that date when the actual project's done and has that visible improvement for the community. But certainly, absolutely.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if this is the place to do this or not, but mm-hmm. it seems like connections, calls, text, emails, or whatever and stuff, just re-extending their request. If you hear about open houses, ribbon cuttings, mm-hmm. that type of thing, if you just pass it on to us, and doesn't matter even if it's 24 hours and then, you know, before, whatever, because I know a lot of times you hear about it last time, but we'd like to show our support for the communities, and sometimes they don't remember to include us on the emails.
Can do.
Thank you. Okay.
Going to the next page here. Just mentioned the strategic planning session. We held this in November with the RADC. That's the group of just volunteers there in the community that works on economic development projects for Roland. Actually, last night, Brenda and I both were in Roland to really review that progress with them. Brenda using some of her expertise in doing this for other communities in the past. Right now, what we're working on with Roland is developing their vision and mission statement for that organization, and then really prioritizing a set of goals over the next 3 years so that they have something they can actually work on using, of course, our services. The second thing is the City of Cambridge, that restoration project for the downtown. Every single funding source that they've gone after, they have acquired, which is great because there are a lot of partnerships behind that project. The single one that they haven't gotten yet is the derelict building grant, which is due on February 20th. And they are going to apply for that. The city's going to apply. And that will really be the final funding piece that they're looking for. They don't necessarily need it, although it would be great to have it just to help out there. But they're going to submit that early this year. That would really cover the demolition piece, hoping that those materials can be either reused or diverted from landfills. I think two of you at least, were at the Grosslyn ribbon cutting in Slater. So, I just wanted to mention that Grosslyn did cut the ribbon on that downtown property in Slater. Again, the complete restoration of a downtown building, but also they're providing their services to the community in terms of wastewater treatment, which we love to see. Great, great success for the Slater community, and hopefully a business that will grow significantly over time with a home base there in rural Story County.
Yeah, and I was certainly impressed with their project.
So was I.
Very interesting. And what I really like about that more than anything is that we kept that here, right? I mean, it came out of Iowa State, Science and Technology did. And they're very passionate about Story County. They want to see that flourish in our rural community. So very exciting to have that happen. I also attended the December Community Venture Network event. That's, you know, the event where we actually try to recruit companies to medium and small-sized cities. This event in particular, it wasn't that there were necessarily specific business development leads for new projects, but there were lots of opportunities where we could plug our existing businesses in to the folks that presented there, things like suppliers of products, maybe customers, and that kind of thing. So to me, it's not just about finding that lead to recruit here to Story County, but finding any way at all that we can create new partnerships that really benefit our existing businesses. That was in December. We'll go to the next page here. Just speaking with Colo earlier this month, there's interest in that community for conducting a new comprehensive plan. I'm not sure, actually, I haven't seen their old comprehensive plan, although I know the person who conducted it. And so the very first step for us is really getting those folks together to talk about the work that was done in the past and what an update or at least a new plan could look like. I actually worked before coming on board with the Chamber and EDC. I actually worked on the Gilbert plan separately there, so I have some experience doing planning as well. Any kind of technical assistance I can provide them, I'm willing to do. Conversations on childcare, I'd say those are intensifying as well. This is something that I would call a conceptual project, a lot to do in terms of getting all the pieces together. But there are a couple of our communities that have expressed interest, both public and private sector expressed interest in childcare facilities. It's very difficult in the sense of funding and financing projects like that simply because there's a regulatory need there in terms of the child care ratio, which all of y'all, I think, are familiar with. But making sure that we can finance these projects, of course, at wages that make sense for the folks who work there, that's really, really key. Several co-working concepts for the Gilbert space. I actually mentioned this in the past. The community floated the idea initially of having a co-working space that could accommodate existing businesses, a lot of in-home businesses, and that kind of thing. It's really rolled into a conversation about our startup community and our startup culture here in Story County, and maybe a way for Ames to partner with Gilbert in terms of thinking about startup factories, startup Ames, 1 Million Cups, all those organizations, and making sure that maybe they can have an opportunity in Gilbert as well. So concept-wise, there's a lot to consider about fee structure, the type of facility that's actually provided there, if it's like a fax machine and an office space, or if there's actually meeting space and presentation equipment. So we're at that stage right now, but we're considering several different concepts that could work for that. And again, that's going to be in a public building, which makes a lot of sense for Gilbert because they already own the property, right? It's behind the library. It's a community space. They already own that space, and it's kind of flexible in the sense that it could easily accommodate something like this.
How many square feet do they have there?
I don't know the exact square feet. It's a pretty sizable room, though. And the great thing about it is it can be divided up. I mean, there's a way to split the room up into different sections.
Okay.
So for instance, like if you had a community event that you needed that space for, you could still have that and also have the co-working space.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We were all at the Charles meeting in McCallsburg most recently. I talked a lot about asset mapping, something I think is really important when we talk about the trails and connecting all the communities by trail. And that's something I've already actually begun working on, just trying to figure out what, especially in that northern part of the county, what assets are around the trail. I actually talked about it in Rolling last night as well, in terms of the old canning facility that we mentioned at that meeting. But very interesting meeting and from my perspective. I just want to be helpful where I can. And I know that if those communities are going to be thinking about development or new projects, that maybe they should be thinking about conservation as well, because just as the planners here earlier were talking about, thinking about the core area where you can create momentum for your communities, that's really important. And I think around the trails, that provides an opportunity there. We're also, it's timely to mention this, but we're here to assist with the housing needs assessment any way that we're needed to assist. One area where I think we could be a particular assistance, if this is needed, is connecting whichever consultant you go with the folks that are on the ground in those communities every single day. So feel free to let them know they can lean on us to make those connections, to even maybe facilitate the setting up of those meetings and that outreach.
Seems like your asset mapping might fit in there too, because I don't think that would be something for trails, but it could also be something in terms of attracting
newer residents to those mm-hmm. communities.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So that kind of fits into me.
Cool. Going to the next page, just a few things that are on my mind for 2020. You know, we had a huge success with the Economic Development Leaders Summit this past year. We'd like to see that continue. There was significant interest in the feedback that we received and solicited to have an annual event, so long as the programming is useful and fresh. And I've already talked with some of you about what that could look like. But early this year, my priority in terms of that event, if we do host it, is to think about what the programming could be, even before we set a date, just to know that it's really useful given the issues we're facing in 2020. The second thing here is the elections just a few months ago created a new opportunity in the sense there's significant new leadership throughout the county. We have new mayors in places like Colo and Huxley, and new council members as well. Part of my goal, especially for this first quarter, is to familiarize myself with those new leaders so we can best perform our outreach responsibilities for our contract. And then, like I mentioned early on, the impacts-based piece to this, I really want to make sure that the impacts that we have throughout the county are really covering the breadth. You know, we work a lot with communities that ask for our assistance, like Collins and Cambridge, but we also want to see that same sort of service and that depth in places like Kelly and Slater and the whole nine. So that's one of my personal goals for this year. And that wraps it up for my piece. I'll take any questions if you have them.
Thank you. I'll jump into workforce now. I thought we'd be able to change it up a little bit.
So
the most recent unemployment numbers that we have available to us are November. Typically, we would have the previous month's results by this time every month, but it just seems like it does take a bit to turn out the year-end number. So we're anxious to see exactly kind of where we ended up, but the most recent numbers would be a 1.6% unemployment rate. You know that was tied for the lowest in the whole country with a community actually in North Carolina. And since November of last year, the Ames MSA, which is Story County, has advanced by 1,200 jobs. So that's a figure we'll continue to track and monitor, and that ripples through our communities and impacts them in a lot of different ways. I'm mentioning that we conducted actually 71 official business visits with our Story County companies. And that did include all of the major industries and all the communities outside of Ames as well as Ames. We'll get a little bit even more aggressive on our visit count moving into 2020. But the next time we're in front of you, I imagine we'll share some summaries of those official visits. But I would tell you, having done most of those visits, that workforce retention or attraction continues to be the number one concern with our business and industry. It's been long awaited, the update to the 2016 labor shed study. In years past, we used to lean on our communities and this board and to actually fund a labor shed study. The state decided last year to actually fund those, so every county across the state has consistent data on labor. We'll have the official rollout of that data in April, and we'll make sure that you get included in on those meetings when we share that information. We have received the preliminary wage data, and so that's important. We've shared that through our HR network. It's important information for them to know. We've actually used that data ourselves in our office here of late. So, we're anxious to see the full results on that. As we look at where we ended up with our countywide job board, and really without your support, we would not be able to have that robust countywide job board. So we ended the year over 200,000 searches. Excuse me, 1,600 diverse openings are there today. And again, I highlight the major areas: healthcare, advanced manufacturing, IT, education, and construction. And 1,370 people have actually gone to the effort of creating a profile that can be matched with job openings. So we're very pleased with those results and are excited to continue to actively promote that site into 2020. Internship programs, I highlighted our activity in 2019. We'll be doing three events in 2020. We have renewed our sponsorship with TAI. We continue to have a large number of software engineering opportunities that are posted. I just saw two come through work at AIMS in City here today. So that relationship is key to try to reach the folks that are interested in that type of work here in Iowa. The career fair dates with Iowa Works have been set. We're going to be doing a lot of work along Highway 30. We know and understand that that workforce moves around that corridor. So we're actually going to start in Boone. We're waiting for official confirmation from Boone over on March 11th. April 1st in Marshalltown, realize both of those communities have larger unemployment than we have here in Story County. And then we'll end later with an event the 13th of May and December, or actually that should be October 14th here at the Public Library. We decided that December 14th was too late, so we bumped it up to October 14th. We'll be participating in the Big 12 Virtual Career Fair event on March 25th. And we have a couple of stops at the community colleges that have, we've got graduates that have found their way to Story County. So Fort Dodge, DMAC, those are likely places where those students will come here to work. So that's our spring. Highlighting some of our pre-K-12 engagement. So both business engagement, collaborative, and scale will continue for the next year. Pre-apprenticeships, the Boone School District, the Nevada schools are working, but they've opened up those opportunities to any Story County school district. We have the youth leadership program, 3 sessions plus. The leadership event is coming up on the 31st of this month here in Nevada. We are in the process of launching our Future Ready Story County portal, which is really an enhanced entrance to the state's portal, and we'll be convening teachers from around the county that want to get out into our employers to learn more about how they can teach to the skills that are needed in our businesses. So I've highlighted our 2020 Workforce Solution Initiatives that are new to what we've done, enhancements. We were presented with a number of opportunities with the state of Iowa to partner on some advertising, and we are indeed doing that, again, to broaden the reach that we have great jobs available here in Story County. We're getting ready, and Supervisor Hens has been involved in some of these conversations, but we're working with Child Care Resources, Iowa Works, and United Way, and Boost Up for Children on some intensive child care training the end of February and the first weekend in March. And I shared with you some of the most recent data on child care. And so I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see the 5-year report that Child Care Resources does, but again, the big number there is to realize that our in-home providers continue to drop. And those are important to people that are working, especially on our off-shift. In-home care tends to be a little bit more affordable. So the goal behind the training is to train people that might want to go work in our centers, but also give them the tools to start their own in-home system. So we're going to target that 10 folks can attend free of charge. And I know 10 doesn't sound like that much, but if we can get 10 people trained, that does have an impact on our in-home providers. And we are working with the groups that Dustin has referred to in his comments. So we're getting ready to do some welding training with the Center for Creative Justice and DMAP. So we're going to launch an informational meeting in February on that with a target of 12 participants. They'll be here at the Nevada Welding Lab going through that training. We're doing some speed mentoring and networking. Really, it's an idea by John Deere. They've done it over at the University of Iowa. We're going to try to do that here at Iowa State with the Research Park and John Deere, and excited for that event in February. In April, we'll be doing a Women in Manufacturing event, again, partnering with United Way and Iowa Works, and, of course, our manufacturer here across the county. But that will be in April. We'll just have a date on the calendar and know it'll be an evening event, and child care will be provided. We want to make sure that there's no barriers for women to understand that manufacturing is more than just a man's opportunity. So, and then in October, we're committed to doing a parent and student manufacturing event to really get the word out about our high-quality manufacturing opportunities we have across the county, and sometimes our parents don't understand how good those opportunities are. So those are a little bit of what we have planned for workforce. Moving into 2020, I'd answer any questions you have before my voice goes out.
Brenda, just on the child care, if I recall from our meeting with the decline that we're seeing in child care homes, that's only in registered homes
correct.
That we have.
Correct.
So some may be moving in, they still may be providing it, but they're into unregistered homes.
And again, it's trying to reach that audience. I actually did an interview yesterday morning at KHOI that says, really, it's an opportunity for us to sell the benefits of becoming registered to maybe folks that are taking care of kids now and what they may be missing in terms of support by not being registered. So that's one of the target audiences as well. We appreciate your help getting the word out about that. Certainly, they can call the Child Care Resource Center, but I'm glad to field some of those calls as well. We want to get folks to the orientation and get them signed up.
Yeah, but I've shared it with my colleagues here.
Okay.
We've been trying to push that information out because you are correct. 10 doesn't sound like a lot, but in the scheme of things, really, if you can get 10 people there and go through all of the training, that's quite a significant accomplishment.
I see if even one of them starts their own business, and that's a game changer for a community.
Yeah, that is right. That's right. Thank you.
Questions for me?
Congrats on the new
for your support.
Thank you.
Yeah, congrats on the new position, I guess. Or I okay, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay. Lots going on.
You got it.
Yeah. So anyway, but again, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge your support in terms of our workforce efforts, because that does the key piece in allowing us to offer robust programs.
Thank you, both
great.
Of you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So our
where are we now?
Well, we're going to go back to the West consultants and. They wanted us to call back at 11:30, but I said we'll get back to you when we can because we have so many people waiting. Do you know, are we set up with them now, or where are we going to go?
I'm sorry, I just want to let you, it may be a while. So are you ready to call?
I think so.
Do you want to do that first before?
Joby,
if
would
you
it
go
here?
Joby,
you
go first?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't make any promises of what time it would be.
Okay, let's have Joby go.
Okay,
can I? Okay. Flora says continue. She's going to take a break. So, Joby?
Yeah.
All right. We need to do.
I'm going to say it since I got time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's Justice Center and HVAC rooftop. Equipment replacement project. Opened bids last Tuesday, and we reviewed them with the architect, had a conference call with low bidder of Bergstrom Construction. They met all requirements. They provided us with a list of the subcontractors they would use for the project. They're all acceptable subcontractors. I would recommend we award the project to Bergstrom Construction, but I'm, if you got any specific questions, I could answer them.
Any questions?
I don't at this particular time.
Any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. So I'd entertain a motion to award the project to Bergstrom Construction in Des Moines, Iowa for $424,000.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Supervisor Olson isn't here right now, but it says proceed, so.
Okay.
I think that's it.
All right. I will work with Ethan Anderson on getting the construction contractor on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's do it. I presume Laura Schultz is on from this.
Presenting to us today, too.
Pardon?
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. If I miss something, let me know. I will.
Will you turn on? What?
Hello.
Hello, this is Rob Godin.
Mr. Godin, good morning. This is Linda Merkin at the Story County Board of Supervisors. Sorry we had some technical difficulties. And we had
thank you for being flexible.
Sure. Well, we had several people on our agenda who had been waiting, so we let them go ahead and got all our other business done before calling you back. We currently do not have one supervisor here. She took a quick break. She'll be back in a minute. We did, we were able to follow all your presentations.
Good.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we weren't able to tell you that we couldn't hear you, or that you couldn't hear us, evidently, so we're glad to have this opportunity. Supervisor Heddens, do you have any questions?
I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
So my first question is, could you elaborate a little bit more, share a little bit more on how you do your outreach to the communities throughout Story County? Are you actually in each of the communities? And how are you planning to elicit the information in regards to the housing study?
Were you able to hear the question?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. We do plan to come to Story County and conduct outreach. The number of communities we would need to decide upon, whether it's one or five or 10, we'd be more than happy to do as many as you'd like. The methods, typically there'll be some kind of advertisement. You know, we conduct some kind of, you know, public relations thing in the beginning. Then we come and make a presentation, or we could do focus group style. It kind of depends a little bit on each community and how they view those types of things, whether they want to do that as a public meeting or a public relations issue or a kind of informal thing. So a little bit depends on how we work that out. We're familiar with doing many of these types of things across, you know, large geographic areas or small geographic areas. So it a little bit depends on how the community wants to do it.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Russell, just so you know, my question that I asked and that he responded to was of the extent of his output or that he was going out to the community and garnering information.
Great.
So since you're back, I just wanted
thank
to be aware
you.
That that's
sure.
the question I asked.
Sure. Are you done? I have a couple.
Go ahead, and then I okay. have another. So.
Okay. So one question that I have here is that I am familiar with your work for IFA. And one of my questions is that the original time frame to get out the IFA statewide housing market study was delayed several months. Can you give me some more insight on how that happened and how we prevent that from happening here with our housing study?
Generally speaking, any delays that occur are because the client wants to postpone some things. We don't really delay things. Whatever deadline we agree to is what we stick to. However, sometimes the client wants to take additional time to review things or add an additional element of public involvement, and that's how they get delayed. If we were to agree to a timeline with you, we would stick with it. That's how that would work. If you wish to have a delay, we can do that. If you wish to have it done sooner than we agreed on at the beginning, that would be a little bit more of a problem because we have a schedule, and that's our schedule. So that's what we try to stick to.
Okay.
So I'd be happy to stick to any schedule you wish that we agree to. If you wish to delay, that's fine. It's up to you.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question.
Right. Should another one?
Another one?
Yeah, my other question is when you do or when you're completed with the assessment or the study, do you actually provide or information into funding resources for not just the county as a whole, but actually for individual counties, you know, such as county or state or federal funding that may be available or applicable to them?
I'm not exactly sure what you mean with your question.
So I guess
she's going to clarify.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, so if after you've done the housing proposal and a community wants to move forward by some of your recommendations, I'm wondering if you provide some suggested resources that may help counties kind of get the project up and off the ground.
Oh, yes, of course. That we can help you locate the resources, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
This is Linda Merkin. I have a few questions. First, on page 30 of your proposal, you've got several numbers in different sections. Am I understanding it that there's 57,825, which is an estimated budget, plus about another 9,400 with two optional tasks, plus 23,000 for the Ames rolling into the study. So the total really of all of this is 85,000 about?
That sounds about right.
Okay. I just wanted to make
although it is negotiable based on if some tasks you don't want to do or other tasks you do want to do. So.
But the total of all of it is 90,385.
That's correct from my original budget and our original scope of work. Yeah.
Okay. Two other quick questions. Secondly, Story County right now does not have a housing program, and that we don't have a grant program or funds set aside. We were hoping to get some direction on our role from this study, the information we thought would be useful. But also, I'm wondering, because of that, some of this work might actually be done by local communities on their own. Is your plan going to list opportunities by communities? They're going to have an assessment by each community.
That was our intent, have an assessment for each community. That's correct.
Okay, thank you. My third question then is, are you familiar with the Ames 2040 plan?
No.
Okay, thank you. But let me ask a follow-up on it. We have one very large community, Ames, in our county, that is looking at the 2040 plan, is looking at how they're going to accommodate an additional growth of 15,000 residents projected by 2040. I'm personally looking for housing solutions that are sensitive to preserving prime agricultural land, other natural areas, especially sensitive areas, and we have a sensitive areas inventory we've done at the county level. Do you see within the scope of this plan being able to look at those smaller communities, specifically how they might grow in terms of new workforce that might take some of the stress off of the surrounding areas of the city of Ames where residential development is really gobbling up prime agricultural land?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any specific thoughts you would have stuck to up your head where you
did that
before?
No.
Okay. That's good.
Have I done that before? Yes. We've done that many times.
Give me an example. Something you've
done. We did one in Colorado for Grand Junction, Colorado. That was a specific community. I'm not sure. I don't recall if we sent that sample to you. But we did that planning and that study for them and helped them understand, you know, where their future growth would be. We'd be more than willing to do that for Story County as well.
Thank you.
That would be an additional cost, however, correct?
I would have to say that's probably likely. Sounds like, it, you know, all the questions I'm receiving right now, is we will need to negotiate what the scope of work really amounts to. And it could go down or it could go up. You know, it's hard to tell at this point.
Okay. Any other questions?
And thank you, Lisa, for telling me what your question was. I just want to clarify here. Were you discussing about the time that they were going to spend in Story County?
My question was more specific. Would they be going to each of the communities to elicit information,
okay.
You know, versus just sending out like a survey or just sitting in Nevada only? Will they actually be present in the community?
Okay. So I'd like to follow up on Supervisor Hedden's question. Given the fact that even a focus group and stakeholder consultation meetings are quoted as options, is what Supervisor Hedden has asked about you going to each community, is that covered under the base price? Or is that going to be another option on top? Because
well, as we proceed through this, it sounds to me like we kind of need to negotiate a final scope of work.
I thought
sure.
We put out a
We'd be more than willing to come out and visit with all the communities who wish to be part of the process. From the scope of work, it didn't sound like everybody was really all on board, but maybe after several months, which is now, you know, a couple months past, you know, maybe they want to be part of the process.
Where did you
and
get,
we'd be happy to talk about that.
Where did you get the
word?
Sir, where did you get the impression that there weren't parties who wanted to be part of the process? Because we didn't ask for any.
My impression of the way the scope of work was written, I didn't really get the idea that each community wanted to be part of the process, but they wanted to be kind of peripherally part of the process, but not directly part of the process.
Okay. No, sir, that's
we'd be
far
happy
from
to
the
talk
truth.
With them.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah,
I,
that's
I
fine.
Think you may have.
I think we put out a pretty robust RFP. Thank you.
Because we had the technical difficulties in the beginning, I didn't wasn't able to tell you a couple of things of what we were doing today and where we were going. So do you mind if I share that with you right now? So
I'd be more than happy to listen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. We heard from some other consultants that responded to our request, and what we did, the same thing we did with you, gave them 10 minutes to explain their proposal and then time to follow up for question and answers by our board members. We're not doing any discussion in terms of comparing to each proposals to each other today. We're not having any discussion between us. We're going to do all our deliberation next Tuesday, and we're tentatively scheduled next Tuesday to select a consultant and to begin contract negotiations then. Wanted to make sure that we got that on the record and got you notified of that, because weren't able to do that quite the way we did with the other proposals, because you couldn't hear us when we were trying to tell you that.
That's
a couple
all right.
Of hours ago. So yeah, and we tried to call you back and ended up in your voicemail, I think. So anyway, I'm glad that you were able to stick around so we could have the question and answer discussion. Did you have either of these supervisors? Did you have any other questions?
No, I just appreciate your flexibility and be able to answer the questions you did have.
Okay.
No
other questions.
No.
Okay. And anything else, sir?
Nothing in my end.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we'll be getting back to you then.
Thank you so much.
And have a good day.
You too, man.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, I think we're done then.
We are.
Thank you.
Okay, then we are going back to an agenda, which I still have someplace. Okay, we go to public forum number 2, which is comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take action on comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future.
Paula, do you have anything you'd like to share about that?
Thank you for being here for our entire meeting, and thanks again to the League for observing our meetings. We appreciate it. Then we will go, I'll close like public forum number two. It was open and closed for the record. Okay. So, going on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Who'd like to begin?
I can't. I'm sorry, that committee just died.
I don't have any right off the top of my head. For upcoming agenda items, I crossed it off.
Sorry, I don't have any. We don't
have any. Okay. Except you know that next Tuesday we will be making a decision on our study. Okay, so liaison committee meeting updates and announcements.
Yeah, so since our office closed early on Friday due to the weather, I participated in the DCAP meeting still continued on, but by conference call. So they're still, we're doing some contracting out with some of the different agencies and still deliberating. We don't need to at least quite yet as to some additional funds yet to that could be provided to certain providers. It was a very short meeting, so some I got the impression that some were still at their offices and were getting ready to head home. Then for the rest of this week, and so I'm just looking at I have a meeting over in Ames this afternoon, so I will be over there. Thursday, it looks like we have a Story County Economic Development meeting Thursday morning up in Roland. And then I also have a Story County, is it Civility in the Workplace presentation in the afternoon, although realize that I also have the CICS Governing Board meeting the same day. So I will be talking with Noelle and seeing what I can do in that particular instance. And then I also have a hiring committee for the Boost executive director that evening. So I know there's also the asset committee meeting that night or joint funders. I've already looked through the asset recommendations. I called Carla on a couple questions that I already had. And if I have any additional, I will, I'd like to, if I can, just pass them on to you two to ask at the asset meeting so I can be at the Boost meeting and stuff. And then on Monday the 27th, I have the MICA board meeting over in Marshalltown.
This afternoon, I have a Story County Housing Trust Fund meeting, and this will be the first meeting with our new administrative agency, contract agency. And then I have CIRHA. I'm going to call in tonight because I can't drive down there and get there in time to that board meeting, so there'll be a call in there. Thursday, I've got Friday morning, AADC. I think you guys are slated to attend that also. I'm also going to the joint funders meeting, and you mentioned another one. I don't have my schedule right in front of me that I think we're all attending, and also Community and Family Resources and HRDA. So I have a big meeting week. Yeah, this last Thursday of the month is when I drive down to Urbandale and then drive all the way up to Webster City and stop in here to say hello in between. So.
Sounds busy.
What time is that meeting again on Friday? The AEDC one?
7 a.m. and plan on it going until 8:30 because they're bringing in a special presentation.
Okay.
So, tomorrow morning, I think I'm going to sit in on the 911 exec board meeting because they're talking about funding for the tower fees for the StoryCom radios. And economic development, Story County, Roland on the 23rd. I may have time to go to a 4 Mile Creek Watershed Management Authority meeting, which I've not been to before, but then I need to get back 5 o'clock for asset joint funders, so we'll see how that goes. AEDC meeting Friday. Come on. And we're continuing to have some budget discussions.
Oh, yeah, Monday morning.
Monday morning. So we are, no, Monday afternoon.
Yeah, sorry.
Monday this morning. Yeah, we have had all of our budget, whenever.
Is it Tuesday?
Wait, it's it's Tuesday at 2 or Wednesday at 1?
Yeah, I think she sent out an email saying Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday.
Thank you.
Tuesday.
I think.
Okay, good. Well, you can tell we've been in enough budget work sessions and we're confused about the way we have to look.
Yeah. We ought to just
put the book
here.
But we still somehow managed to get the same room at the same time talking about the same budget. And I want to thank all the county department heads and elected officials who have come to our budget work sessions. We've had lots of questions, and they've been very good with all of that and good thorough budget requests. So we'll move on to getting it resolved, getting a budget put together for FY21, which will be a good budget for the county. So anything else?
To adjourn the meeting.
I will second.
Hudson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for your patience with this meeting. You've got